Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I love this guy's sound any time of the year, but there's something now that has put a stamp over his style of music, over his whole, well, who he is now. Ever since this one song, he is now known as a co-writer of Mr. Christmas, all right? Buddy Green is who we're talking about. He's co-writer with Mark Lowry on Mary, Did You Know? And when you write a classic that turns into a standard at Christmas time, buddy, I know that Christmas now follows you. Whether you are a Scrooge before, you can't be any longer, right?
Well, let me put it this way, Daniel. It couldn't have happened to a more appropriate guy, because I love Christmases.
Oh, nice.
It probably is my favorite time of year.
Nice. Well, the CD that we've got that's released, this album, is a wonderful collection. It's December's Song. Because when you look at the calendar, you can predict what it's going to look like outside, what it's going to feel like in your heart, what the smells are going to be, and what the sounds are. There are something about December, and I think you would agree, everything changes.
It does. Yeah, and that really is why we named this, gave it a sort of a December title rather than, you know, a Christmassy title, because it really is a season that kind of starts before Christmas and maybe even stretches a little beyond it. And I like that aspect of it. Around here, as soon as Thanksgiving's over, our attention's turned to December, you know.
Yeah.
And we start gearing up for it. You know, I start listening to nothing but Christmas music, and we start decorating the house and getting ready. And, you know, we observe Advent, you know, in our Christian tradition and all that. So, yeah, it's just a season that's amazing to me.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Buddy Green today, listening to Sounds of Christmas from December's Song.
Come darkness, come light, come new star shining bright. Come love to this world tonight. Hallelujah. Come broken, come whole, come wounded in your soul. Come anywhere that you know. Hallelujah. There's a humble stable and a light within. There's an angel hovering and three wise men. Today a baby's born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Come doubting, come sure, come fearful to this door. Come see what love is for. Hallelujah. There's a humble stable and a light within. There's an angel hovering and three wise men. Today a baby's born in Bethlehem. Light within. There's an angel hovering and three wise men. Today a baby's born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Come darkness, come light. Come new star, shining bright. Come love to this world tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Daniel Brennan Friends with Buddy Green today, and the project is December's Song. So this is a question I have for a musician, Buddy, especially a Christian musician, because I work with music all year round, and this is our holiday as Christians. I mean, this is when it happened. This is when God came to earth in the form of and became like us. And so your secular stations, they flip formats and they start playing Christmas music. You know, now they start playing it before Halloween in some cases.
Yeah.
for the Christian, we understand there's a seasonal change. But as an artist, do you find that sometimes there's a line that gets blurred between what you sing in July versus what you sing in December? It's ultimately the same message, right?
Well, it is. But, I mean, I for one, really, I like the switch. I mean, I like the fact that Christians, especially, I mean, I kind of adhere to a Christian calendar, so.
Yeah.
So like I say, when Advent comes along, I love singing the songs of Advent, O Come, Emmanuel, things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I start like, I like to get my heart and mind prepared for this celebration of which, as you put it, the incarnation of God becoming man in Christ. And so the fact that the whole world kind of goes along with that, I mean, for whatever reasons they're doing it, a lot of it's just crass commercialism, but the fact that everywhere you go, you cannot escape Christmas music, whether it's just Jingle Bells or, Mary, Did You Know, or Joy to the World, or things like that. I just think that's wonderful, and that pagans and believers alike just are sort of forced to hear this message wherever they go and see the symbols of it and the red and the green and the lights, you know, it is a celebration of God's light breaking into our darkness. And I love all of that. The fact that the world goes along with that for at least a season.
Buddy Green, I love what you wrote on your website about this project, December Song. Lots of singing, lots of harmonica, some instrumental fun, even a duet with your daughter, right?
Yeah, that is. My daughter, Georgiana, singing with me for the first time on a record, and a special song for us. You know, we love the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and this song comes from that. It's Christmas time is here.
I love it, by the way. She's so good, and I can't.
Isn't that a pure voice?
Oh, it's great. I know you're proud.
Well, thank you. I am very proud, and she's quite a good singer, and both my girls are good singers for that matter, and she's in college, and you know, I was able to get her to come home one weekend and sneak into the studio with me and put that on, and it's real special. Yeah, and I think it's a real standout on the album.
And it may be a sensitive subject. If it is, we'll edit it out of the tape. No, we'll keep it. It'll be keep it for ratings. That's what we'll do. So you have two daughters, and one gets on the record. So was there any family conflict?
Well, I hope not. Actually, my oldest daughter was on my first Christmas album when she was 10 years old. That was 15 years ago.
Wow.
And she came on and did a recitation of Luke 2, the Christmas story from Luke 2. And it was a part of one of the Advent songs on that record, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. So that was a proud, proud moment for me. And it's one of those things, when I put that old record on and hear her 10-year-old voice, I still tear up. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
So I've had both my girls on there, and I hope there's no jealousy.
Christmas time is here. Happiness happiness and cheer. Fun for all that children call their favorite time of year.
Snowflakes in the air, carols everywhere, olden times and ancient rhymes of love and dreams to share. Sleigh bells in the air, beauty
Christmas time is here.
We'll be drawing near.
Oh, that we could always see such caring through the year. Christmas time is here.
We'll be drawing near.
Oh, that we could always see such caring through the year. Oh, that we could always see such caring through the year.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
Children go where I send thee.
How will I send thee?
Oh,
I'm going to send thee one by one.
Because one was a little bitty baby.
A baby he was born in Bethlehem.
Children go where I send thee.
How will I send thee?
Oh, I'm going to send thee two by two. Because two was Paul and Silas. One was a baby he was born in Bethlehem. Send thee.
How will I send thee?
Oh, I'm going to send thee three by three.
Because three was a Hebrew and two
children. Two was all and Silas.
One was a little
baby. He was born in Bethlehem.
Children, go where I send thee.
How will I send thee?
Oh, I'm gonna send thee four by four.
Because four was four that stood in the door.
Three was a Hebrew
children. Two was
Silas, and one was a little bitty. But maybe he was born in Bethlehem.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Buddy Green, and this is December's song. Now, Buddy, you mentioned it a couple of times, and I'd like to go here if you're ready to talk about it. And that is because we're at Christmas time, and we may throw around the word Advent, but to be honest, a lot of us may not truly understand it if we didn't grow up in a church that had any kind of liturgy or maybe really put a lot of focus on it. I think it's wonderful. See, I grew up not knowing a lot about Advent, but I've learned here in my later years just how much of a wonderful thing that could be. You want to talk about it, even for the people who might be a little bit squeamish over something so religious?
Well, yeah, I'm like you. I did not grow up in a liturgical tradition. I grew up Southern Baptist, and you know, it was Christmas and Easter was as liturgical as we got.
Yeah, really.
That was about all we recognized on the church calendar. But
yeah, we would say he is risen indeed. That was our liturgy.
That was exactly. And we go to a candlelight service, you know, on Christmas Eve or something like that, right?
Yeah,
But yeah, I mean, as I've I'm part of a liturgical church tradition now, and so seasons like Advent and Epiphany and Lent and all these things sort of figure into my year. And Advent is, for somebody who's not initiated in this, I'd say when you pick up the Bible and you read Luke 1 or Matthew 1, you're in Advent. You're anticipating. Or if you're back in the prophets, if you're in Isaiah and you're reading the prophecies of the coming Messiah, or in Jeremiah, and you come across these passages that speak to what God is going to do in the future, and light coming into the darkness, and taking the gospel from Israel into the world, to the nations and all. I mean, then you are in Advent. You are anticipating what God is doing in history. And so to kind of adhere to a Christian calendar sort of way, you're sort of entering into the drama of God and his story and his people, which is really the story, which is really history.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for me, I like it because I like to sort of enter into that drama. It helps recapture my imagination about what God has done, about what he's doing, and preparing my heart again for this message of the incarnation. That's a huge step for me, because otherwise I get swept up in all the tinsel and you know, the commercialism and all the stuff that really, I mean, as wonderful as it could be, it really can distract and detract from the amazing, glorious message of God becoming man in Christ and doing what only he could do to save a fallen race. I mean, there's your good news, and that's what's gonna make me sing Joy to the World at the top of my lungs come Christmas morning.
I think probably the easiest way to think about it may be that you have to get these things in their proper, put them in their proper place. I mean, if you're using the liturgy and you're using the religious stuff to replace the relationship, that's in the wrong place. But if you use the liturgy and Advent and use that as a discipline to help you cut through the clutter, because if you're not careful, it'll get lost and forgotten.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know what, liturgy really, most of liturgy is you're reciting scripture.
And
that's one of the things I like about it, is that it puts a lot of scripture in front of me to contemplate and think about, and not just you know, focus in on Luke 2, for example, but it's going to show me the Old Testament. You know, there's going to be Old Testament readings, New Testament readings, Psalms and things like this, epistles, and to see all of that linked together so that I do get a picture of this great big story happening in the Bible. And it's a story of creation and fall and redemption and restoration and glory. I mean, that's the big picture I need to always keep in mind, or else I just get swept along by, you know, whatever the newspapers are saying.
Buddy Green, and you're listening to some great discussion we're having, but also some cool tunes from a brand new project. It's available at buddygreen.com. There's an E on green at the end, and it's December's song, 11 great tunes for the season.
My soul cries out with a joyful shout that the God of my heart is great. And my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your sight on the servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, could the world be about to turn. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame, but to those who look for you yearn. You will show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall eat no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though the nations rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God, who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn.
So, buddy, another thing that I read is that, you know, once you co-wrote Mary, Did You Know with Mark Lowry, and that becoming such a standard at Christmas time, reported by sacred and secular artists alike, maybe your calendar started to fill up a little bit more, especially at Christmas. Now, is that something that you noticed a marked difference?
Well, actually, yeah, you're right. I mean, once you get associated with something like that, it does, you know, create some interest. And so really, gosh, since the 90s, I have had a full touring Christmas season. And I'm thankful for that. I like to be a part of Christmas concerts and celebrations. And this year will be no different. I'll be touring with the Gaithers mm-hmm. on their Christmas tour, and I'll be doing a few of my own shows out in California at a place called Mount Hermon. And then I'll be doing some stuff locally here in Nashville, Tennessee. So it's a full, a very full calendar for me, and I love it. I really do like it. And it's really increased my repertoire. I mean, that's one of the reasons I did another Christmas album, is because I had all these songs sort of piling up that I played at Christmas time in concerts, but I'd never recorded. So thus December's song.
And of course, Mary, Did You Know, this project would be replete without having that on there. So here it is, and Mary, Did You Know, a song that has become a favorite of so many.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God.
Green, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And by the way, this season, I'm not only talking to Buddy Green, but also visiting with the Isaacs. And I just had a conversation with them. We had lunch together. And we were talking about their Christmas music. And the song that they said was just so cool. They absolutely love this song and their project. I don't think you had a hand in writing it. Correct me there if I'm wrong. But you and Mark Lowry, I think both like brought this to their attention. And it's the song I think Andrew Peterson may have wrote about it's not, it wasn't a silent night.
Right.
Yeah.
Labor of Love. It's a great song. And Andrew's a fantastic writer. He's become a good friend of mine. And I think that's one of the best songs to come along in the last, 10, 15 years. And they did a tremendous version of it. It was such a perfect song for Becky to sing. But they gave it their usual stellar Isaac's treatment. Yeah, I was thrilled to be a little part of that record. I got to play harmonica on a couple of songs and even pick a little guitar. So I think that's a great Christmas project.
And speaking of being a part, I'm looking at the credits here. And, of course, our friend Jeff Taylor's on the project, right?
On mine, yes. Yeah, he's all over it. Yeah, he and I have traveled, made a lot of music over the last 8 years of knowing each other. He's been a part of most of my Christmas touring of that same period. So I couldn't imagine doing this album without him. And he's playing piano and accordion, penny whistles, all the stuff he does.
Aubrey Haney.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he plays fiddle on a couple of songs. And, he's just one of my favorite all-time fiddlers. And what he brought to those two songs was such icing on the cake. Brian Sutton played guitar and mandolin all over it, and his work. I sent him a copy of this the other day, and I said, "You dog, and now I got a woodshed and make my guitar play and sound half as good as your." It's amazing what he can do with his guitar. And I'm struggling just to try to learn his parts, but. Yeah, Byron House played the bulk of the bass. Although on a couple of songs, like the one that I did with my daughter, and one other song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," I hired a little jazz trio comprised of David Huntsinger on piano and Jim Ferguson on bass and Scott Williamson on drums, and they were the perfect little jazz trio for those two songs. Of course, I tooted my harp a little bit. To get in there with them and have some fun.
And the singers, I see names here like, what, Charlotte Ritchie?
Yeah. Oh, it was so great to have Charlotte on the record of mine. We've She's never great. Recorded together. And I'm one of her biggest fans. I love her voice. And of course, another one from the Gaither world is Joyce Martin. And her husband, Paul, came in and sang on a couple of songs. Angie Prim.
Oh, I love Angie.
Angie's fantastic, and we had a couple of rhythm and blues kind of songs in there. Boy, she came and spiced that up right away.
Yeah. Buddy, let me just say this, and I think I can get away with this because you're from Georgia originally, and I'm from Georgia originally. You're just one of these characters that it's hard to put you in a box, okay, because you bring the harmonica and the down-home country fun. But you've taught us about Advent, and you've got Canticle of the Turning is the way the thing starts off. So, I mean, you bring some class in here in with the Deep South and the Deep Southern roots of Rufus, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll never escape that, and I love being Southern to the bone, you know. But I have the Christian life is a learning life. It's I've never been a better – bigger and better student than I am now. I mean, I love the way I'm studying the Bible, what I'm learning about God's word and the gospel and what he's doing in history, what he's doing right now. And so I get excited about that, and I want to pass that along. You mentioned Canticle of the Turning, and you know, that's a song that I've just become familiar with. It's an old Irish melody. But a fellow named Rory Cooney wrote this marvelous lyric based on the Magnificat, which is just one of the most glorious prayers in the whole Bible and from Mary's own mouth. And just to get a really good understanding of what God's doing in history, just read the Magnificat. Yeah, I think it's fantastic in its implications. And so to have that in a song and sort of kick the project off with that song, special to me.
Well, while we have our top button buttoned, let's go down to the bleak midwinter, and you want to do the pronunciation here?
Oh, yeah, it's coupled with another old Irish tune called Shebeg Shemor.
Yeah.
That's by, there was an old blind Irish composer named O'Carolan. He's very well known among the Irish, and he wrote scads of songs that are still played among the Irish traditional players over there. And that's one of the more well-known melodies of his. Again, Jeff Taylor, I love this song, and my favorite version of it was by James Taylor on an album he came out with several years ago. And we had been playing it kind of like that in concert. And Jeff said, are you going to do that on your album? I said, well, I can't just do just copy James Taylor and do it like he did. And he said, well, let me see if I can come up with an arrangement of this. And so he took that old Carolan melody and then changed the tempo into a 6/8 feel, which is just a beautiful sort of slow jig tempo. And gosh, I loved what it did to the song. And then it's one of my favorite places on the record. That's Jill Phillips singing with me, by the way. And her voice is on Canticle as well, and she's one of my favorites.
In the bleak midwinter, icy wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow on snow had fallen, snow on snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, so long ago, angels and archangels, they have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim rising in the air. Oh, but only Mary in her maidenness worships the mother's shall I bring him, empty as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. And if I were a wise man, I would know what then shall I bring him? I must give my heart.
The ground he comes to lay. curse is found. For as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. And he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness.
December song, and again, this is available from Buddy Green at buddygreen.com online. Now, we talked about Georgia, and now you live in Nashville. Are those pretty much the two main places you've lived, Georgia and Tennessee?
Yeah, I moved up here 30 years ago after spending the first 30 years of my life in Georgia and around Macon, Georgia, my hometown. And that's really, you know, that... Those first 30 years, I was just I was playing 20 of those as a performer, and playing all around Georgia and the coastal region down there, over into South Carolina some, just through the school of hard knocks, playing bars and taverns and parties and weddings and whatever, you know. And I finally got a break when I got hired to play with Jerry Reed and his band, and I was a newlywed, and we moved up to Nashville to sort of chase my dreams, and here we are 30 years later.
Does your wife have any regrets of chasing those dreams?
No, she doesn't. And we both were kind of ready to leave Georgia and just embark on something new. I shouldn't say this. We were both ready to leave Macon. We'd grown up in Macon, and we just wanted to see what else is out there. She was kind of kicking and screaming when I was bringing her up here to Tennessee, and the first year was kind of rough as we didn't know many people, but we found a good church right off the bat, and within a year or two we had some great friends, and then a couple of years later we'd started raising our family, and it's been a great place to have our children grow up, and to see them now become adults in this world. You know, we're thankful for the community we found here in Nashville. It's a great place to live.
Whether it was growing up in Georgia or now in Tennessee, is there something that sticks out in your mind? Maybe it's a smell or a particular dish that your wife cooks? It almost defines Christmas as far as eating goes.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, the stuff we eat at Thanksgiving and Christmas time is pretty much the same sort of thing. I mean, I love Christmas dressing or stuffing, as some people call it. I mean, when that kind of stuff starts happening, and roast turkeys and hams, and oh man, I love it. I mean, there's no way I'm not going to gain 5 or 10 pounds over this next month.
You're in good company.
I love it. I love the hot drinks that come, you know, the teas and the ciders and all that sort of thing. And the smells that fill the house, oh, it's fantastic. My wife loves to decorate the house at Christmas time. And so, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, I'll be heading out to find a tree and bring that thing home. We like the smell of evergreen in the house. And then my girls really love to decorate with their mom, help her out. And it's just great to see the house, you know, kind of be transformed.
You know, I'll say that through the years of even just going back and looking at old LPs now through, you know, even now to your iTunes music that you have online, you know, I can see a change in you, but I don't see that you've aged necessarily. So I think there's a difference there. Maybe the glasses or a hairstyle or something.
I've definitely got a lot more snow up on top than of what I got left anyway, But I've always felt young at heart.
That's
Daniel.
Good.
And I still do. And I got people in my life that help me feel that way. And I'm a blessed man.
Well, as your girls have gotten older, what's changed about the family moment of Christmas, whether it's Christmas Eve or Christmas morning? Yeah. Have you, you know, I know I'm, that's what I'm probably most worried about is like, okay, I want to hold on to these moments as tightly as I can, but at the same time realizing at some point the kids are going to form their own traditions and it's going to become a little bit quieter at Christmas.
Well, yeah, I mean, my daughter married a couple of years ago and moved out to California, and you know, my youngest is off at college, so we're empty nesters here, and so it's different. It's different when your kids aren't waking up on Christmas morning and coming downstairs and waking up the house and all that, but we're still, at least for the last couple of years, as we've been empty nesters, we've figured out ways to gather as a, you know, all four of us get together and spend at least the days leading up to Christmas together and celebrate, you know, and then we have extended family as well. And then, so that's a new dimension that we're getting used to and enjoying actually. So, but, you're right. It's a challenge. And you know, that if you don't mind, I'm going to segue into another song that's on this.
Yeah,
record,
go ahead.
Because Christmas can be a real hard time for people. It might be associated with some sort of loss. You know, if someone died, or there was someone moved away, or a divorce happened, or whatever. But it can really be a tough time of year for people. And there's a song by Merle Haggard called "If We Make It Through December" that Jeff and I started playing at our concerts 3 or 4 years ago, just so we could have some solidarity with people who were struggling with this season. And that's one of my favorite songs on this record, because I think, you know, we can't gloss over the fact that that it is a hard time for people sometimes. And it's great to acknowledge that, because the hope of this season is that God breaks into our suffering and into our darkness. That Emmanuel is really all about God with us, not God taking us away from our suffering, but walking with us through our suffering with us. So I was really excited about having that song on there to kind of focus that in a way. And I think Bleak Midwinter does that in a way as well.
Yeah, you know, thinking about that loneliness or that feeling of emptiness at Christmas, sometimes I think maybe it also comes in a way that maybe we don't suspect, and that's in the busyness of the season. And maybe we've got people all around us, and we've got a house full of even, you know, bright children who are bringing all the warmth that they can bring into the Christmas atmosphere. But maybe in the midst of all that noise and all that stress, maybe there's still a bit of loneliness that we might experience, whether it's in our relationship on earth or even our relationship with our Father.
Right.
You know, and if it becomes too much about, you know, the performance or checking things off the list, or even making sure that we've bought enough gifts to make, you know, the season perfect, however we define it, you know, I think there could be those songs and the ones you've mentioned here on this project could speak to someone like that too.
Well, I think that's maybe one of the things that Advent can provide for us. If we can let that, as this, the time leading up to Christmas, if we can let it slow down enough to say we stop, and instead of just throwing a nickel into, you know, somebody's outstretched hand, maybe even spend a moment talking with a homeless person, share a meal with somebody that's, you know, that's going through the hardships like that, and be reminded that Mary and Joseph were basically homeless when they had the Savior of the world. I mean, so God identifies with everybody in this story, and that's a great way to prepare our hearts for it is, and to not get trapped in which, you know, that hustle and bustle and frenetic activity that can go on at this time of year.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right. I know it's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, I got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Got laid off at the factory, and their timing ain't the greatest in the world. Lord knows I've been working hard,
wanted Christmas to be right for Daddy's girl. Well, I don't mean to hate December. It's supposed to be the happy time of year. But my little girl don't understand why Daddy can't afford no Christmas cheer. If we make it through December, everything's gonna be alright, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, I got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Make it through December, everything's gonna be alright, I know. It's the coldest time of winter, and I shiver when I see the falling snow. If we make it through December, I got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine.
Thoughtful dialogue, engaging music, and the laughter of the redeemed. This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
Oh, I've been washed in the blood, and I'm fully forgiven. Well, I have tasted the goodness of my Savior and Lord. Well, He has brought me from darkness to live in His light, to love, serve, and honor Him with all of my might. He's the way, truth, and life. Hope for you and me. He has broken every chain and led this captive free. Oh, God is with us till the end of the age. He is with us even though the battles rage. I said, amen. I just live to tell everyone God is with us. I'll remain you. Virgin, like the scripture said he would be, under those he had created, but who knew him not. For 3 years he was preaching, teaching, making enemies, finding fellowship with prostitutes, vagabonds, and thieves. He was nailed to a cross to pay for every sin. In 3 days he rose in glory, now he lives within. God is with us till the end of the age. He is with us even though the battle's raging. God is with us, I remain.
are not over in a way, they're just beginning, cause I follow him. But in my suffering, he's given me the strength to carry on. In my weakness, he's perfected in a way that makes me strong. He's the rock of the ages, beginning and the end. My protector, my provider, love and counselor, and friend, God is with us. Till the end of the age, he is with us. Even though the battle's raging,
Emmanuel.
Oh, I live to tell everyone our God is with us. I'm Emmanuel. Oh, Emmanuel, how I love to tell everyone that God is with us.
Everyone that God is with us.
You know our God is with us.
You know our God is with us.
Oh, we'll celebrate cause God is with us.
Emmanuel.
Oh, and show the world our God is with us.
Emmanuel.
Oh, now did you know that God is with us?
Good stuff. It's December's song, and it's hot off the presses, and I encourage you, check it out. I love this. As I said when we started, I love his music all year round, and at Christmas time, I honestly have to say, if there was just going to be a couple or three projects or artists I would have to choose from to make the season, buddy, you're up there. I mean, you're one of the few I would grab, because I've listened to your, I mean, I go back into probably the late 90s listening to your Christmas stuff. Because it's something about it.
Just, thanks.
Yeah, the acoustics, the harmonica, and again, the way you can not only blend a good down-home country sound, but sometimes just that pure simplicity that gives us that moment of reflection. It's good stuff. And thanks for producing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. As you told me off the air, it was maybe a little bit of a late start for you to produce it for the 2013 Christmas season. But don't let that be saying that it was rushed, because it sounds so good, and I believe the Spirit led your way.
Well, thanks. I was in great hands, and you know the way I've always I owe any success I've had to the fact that I've always been surrounded by great friends with great talent who have helped me realize my music and my vision for how this stuff ought to sound. And right down to the cover, Paul Supase was the designer, and I love working with this guy, and I just think he did a great package design. And then right here at home base, I have Ann Campbell, who helps me get this stuff out the door. We're basically a cottage industry. So, I mean, if people are looking for this, they're going to have to probably find it on my website, buddygreen.com.
Yeah.
But Ann will be there processing your orders. So once again, I'm indebted to everybody that helps me do this stuff.
She's great. We love Annie. Okay, buddy, thanks for your time. And give your family and everybody just a wonderful greeting from us. Okay, Merry Christmas.
Daniel, same to you, brother. Appreciate the talk.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.